For quite a while now, we've been looking at how we, as God's people, can accept the call of God upon our life and what we need to do to fulfill the plan of God on our life. And one of the things that's going to affect every step of the way are the choices that we make on a day-to-day basis. And those choices will have long-lasting, even eternal consequences. They will affect our life in the here and the now, right now, today, in whatever situation we find us in, and as well as they're going to affect where we spend eternity. Making wise, godly choices are essential for our well-being and our happiness. And wise choices will help us to walk in and fulfill that very plan or that calling of God that we've been talking about. And so what I want to do right now is I want to look at a section of Scripture that deals with a man of God, a real man of God, a man who not only made wise decisions in his life, but somebody who helped others to see the importance of making right decisions, of good, godly, wise decisions for themselves. I'm going to go to Joshua chapter 23, verse 1 through 8. So you can read along with me, and I don't know if they'll have that up there or not. After a long time had passed, and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them, Joshua, by then, was a very old man, and he summoned all of Israel, their elders, the leaders, the judges, and the officials, all of them. There was millions of people already there at that point. And he said to them, I am very old. This was at the end of his life. He knew that it was getting there. He knew that he was, you know, winding down. His time was coming. And he said, you yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Remember now, I have allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the land of the nations that remain. The nations I conquered between the Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea in the west. The Lord your God himself will push them out for your sake. He will drive them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God has promised you. Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, without turning aside to the right or to the left. Do not associate with these nations, the ones that remain among you. Do not invoke the name of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them, but you are to hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have until now. Then we jump to verse 14 through 16. It says, now I am about to go the way of all the earth. So he knows he's about ready to die. And he really wants to pass along some wisdom. That's what he's doing here. This is a man who has always been faithful to God. This is a man who was, if you remember, when the 12 spies went out into the promised land, Joshua, he was the one that came back, Joshua and Caleb, and this is Joshua, and said, we can take the land. Everybody else got scared. Everybody else was ready to give up. They spread a bad report. But Joshua spoke out, as well as Caleb. But Joshua was the leader. And he spoke out and said, we can do it. And he's been leading these people all along. He led them into the promised land. He helped them win all the battles. He's done everything for them. He's done everything right. He's done everything good. God has blessed them. He's been a blessing to them. And now he's about ready to die. And he wants this to continue. He wants the good things of God to go on. He doesn't want it to fade when he passes away. He goes, you know with all your heart and soul that not one of the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. But just as all the good things the Lord your God has promised you have come to you, so he will bring on you all the evil things he has threatened, until the Lord your God has destroyed you from the good land he has given you, if you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. And go and serve other gods and bow down to them. The Lord's anger will burn against you, and you will quickly perish from the good land he has given you. He's saying, please, come on, you guys. God has been great to you. He's been good. And he puts out a warning there. And then in chapter 24, verse 14 and 15, he sort of sums it up. And he says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your ancestors serve beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. He gave him a choice. Joshua was a great leader. He was a foreshadowing of Christ. And he was very looked up to. He was honored. He was respected. Everybody knew who he was and that he had been a great leader. And he tells them, now choose for yourself this day whom you're going to serve. He laid it all out for the Israelites. These are the rules you must follow. And if you do, you will be blessed. Blessed beyond measure. But if you don't follow God's rules, evil will follow you and you will eventually be destroyed. He laid it all out in a nice, neat little package and said, now it's up to you. Choose for yourself. You weigh the facts. You make your own decision. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And here we are today, in basically the same position. We are in the land now of God's promises, our promised land. We have the promises of God and his word. He's saved us. He's rescued us from a past, just like they were rescued out of Egypt. And God has been faithful to us. And so we have the same choice now laid out before us. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Joshua understood the terrible consequences of making a wrong decision. But he also understood that every person needs to make up their own mind. Just like them, we have to choose whether we are going to do the right thing or not. All the way back in Genesis 2:16, we saw that God has always given us free choice. He told Adam, 2:16, Genesis. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. You've got the freedom. You've got the choice. But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. So he's got that same freedom of choice with very clear instructions that there's one dangerous tree that he has to stay away from, one that he has to avoid. Very clear. But he tells him, this is your choice. Make a choice now. Now, our society today is filled with choices. In fact, choice is something that is worshipped itself. People demonstrate and even fight for the freedom to choose sin. Pro-choice is the slogan of the pro-abortionists. Second, sexual freedom includes the choice to marry or have someone, you know, have relations with somebody of the same sex, to change your sex if you want, make the government pay for it, to do basically whatever feels good to anyone, no matter what their age. Pornographers proudly display their filth, saying that people have the right to choose their pleasure. Groups are pushing to legalize all kinds of drugs, saying people want to have their choice. We should give them their choice. Every day, we're faced with hundreds even thousands of decisions, choices to be made. And each one demands a response. Every time there's something that we have to choose. Even not choosing is a choice. Many choices are simple. They're just innocent choices. What should I put on today? What tie should I wear this morning? What should I have for breakfast? I mean, you know, what direction should I drive over to so-and-so's house? I mean, those are simple choices. They don't necessarily have these far-reaching consequences. They're not good or bad. They're just choices. But many choices are moral, ethical choices. Many are decisions to follow God's word or not, to follow His leading, to follow His truth, godly principles or not, choose to sin or not. Some major decisions, some minor decisions. But what happens is all these decisions work together and they begin to work in us and they begin to build our character. They begin to build who and what we are inside and out. They determine whether we will walk in God's purpose for our life or not, whether we will be blessed or not. And as we look back over this key verse in Scripture, the one I just read a minute ago, I want to read it again. It says, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." So notice the first thing it says is it says, "Choose for yourself." Ultimately, every decision that we make is a personal one. Galatians 6:4 tells us each one should test their own actions. We got to check what we do. When we do something like, you know, why did I do that? Or why am I going to do that? We need to test and make sure that it conforms to God's will, that it's something good, that we're going to love, we're going to serve, we're going to honor with those decisions that we make. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us may receive what is due for us, due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." So we're not going to get away from our decisions, from the choices we make. We might think they've slipped by, but they don't. Each one of us is ultimately responsible for every decision, every choice we've ever made. And we can't blame anybody else. You know, it didn't work in the garden when Adam tried to blame Eve. It didn't work when Eve tried to blame the devil. It doesn't work. We can't, you know, try to stick it on somebody else. It won't work for us. One of my personal favorites in trying to do that was had to do with Moses when he went up the mountain to talk to God. If you remember the story, he left Aaron back down at the bottom of the mountain with all the people in charge. And so Moses is up there on the mountain, you know, getting, you know, words from God and speaking to him. And he comes back down and he hears all this noise and wonders what the world is going on. And he goes and he finds all the people dancing around a golden calf. And he asks Aaron, "What happened here? What's going on? You know, I left you in charge." And Aaron tries to get out of it by saying, "Well, the people gave me their gold, and I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf." You believe that? He tries to blame everybody or everything else except to take responsibility. If you believe that, you know, maybe you'll believe this too. And how many times have we tried to blame other people or situations for the wrong choices that we've made? We might fool some people some of the time, but we're not going to fool God any of the time. God's always right there, seeing every decision we make. And every choice, everything that we choose, will either be pleasing to God or not. And some of them are almost like a slap in the face. Those choices will affect our personal relationship with God. Just like the things we say, the things that we do, to our spouse or to a friend or, you know, to an acquaintance. You know, those things that we do and say affect our relationship. If we're mean, if we're gruff, if we're hard, it's going to create a little bit of a problem there. If we're loving, if we're kind, if we're serving, giving, it's going to create a better relationship. And it's the same thing with God. I mean, our relationship with God will be determined by the choices we make. If we want to be closer to God, then we have to make choices that will bring us closer to God. Next it says, choose for yourself this day. This day. Ephesians 5:16 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. See, we never know how long we're going to be around. We never know when this opportunity comes, if it'll stay. 2 Corinthians 6:2, the second part, says, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. So, see, God knows that there are certain times. As humans, we have a tendency to put off until tomorrow what we could do today. We always want to, you know, take these. Not everybody, but, you know, but even almost everybody does that sometimes. And a lot of us do it a lot of times. Well, we can get to that tomorrow. We'll do that later, maybe next week. Joshua said, choose this day. Why the rush? What's the rush? Why do we need to respond to God's call, to His rebuke, to His direction this day? Why not tomorrow? Why not next week? Why not next month? Why not next year? There's always a danger in delay. Who knows if we'll even be alive? I mean, we don't know. This could be our last morning alive. Or how do we know if the opportunity will still be available? We don't. If God is calling us to respond to Him, to make a decision to do something, you know, that's going to affect our life, if God Himself, if God is telling us to do something, we should do it now. Delaying may mean great loss. We might miss God's best. We might miss His blessing. At the very least, it's delayed. And why miss out on a blessing? Why delay a blessing? How many times have we waited too long and missed out on something? I bet every one of us in here has done it many times. Waited and waited, and then we say, oh man, I wish I would have done that. I knew it. I knew I should have got there. I knew I should have done that. I knew I should have, you know, did this, that, you know. And we kick ourselves because we waited. The longer we delay, the harder it gets to move. Sometimes, you know, delaying can mean loss. It's sort of like the clay on a potter's wheel. You know, you can only keep it moist and pliable for so long. Eventually, it starts to dry out. The edges start to dry out, and pretty soon it gets thicker and thicker. And even if you keep watering it down more and more, eventually it doesn't work right. And the same thing happens to our heart. God touches our heart and He speaks to us about some important change, something that He really wants to do to us. And at that time, we're very sensitive and we're very receptive. Our heart is very open to receiving from Him. But if we don't move on it right away, if we keep delaying it, it gets easier and easier to let it go. Our heart starts to get harder. And what we've really done is we made a choice to ignore God through delay. Battles have been won, nations have been born, fortunes have been made, and lives have been saved because people made the right move at the right time without delay. There are certain windows of opportunity where God wants to move in our life, where it could literally be life-changing. And we have to choose to be obedient at that time, this day. Choose for yourself this day, the last part, whom you will serve. The last part of this statement is all about who are we going to serve. We need to choose to serve the best. We can't serve both God and money, it tells us right in the Bible. We can't serve God and pleasure. We can't serve God and comfort. We can't serve God and selfish ambition. Or we can't serve God and fear. We can't divide ourselves. So we're either going to be a slave to sin or to our flesh and the world, or we're going to give our heart over and be a slave to righteousness, to be one of God's, one of His people, give and serve Him with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's why Joshua called everyone together. That was his last public act. The last time all the tribes were gathered together before they each went and settled into their inheritance, into the land that God had given them. And it was time for them to choose as a nation, and of course, to also choose individually who they were going to serve. Any number of false gods were available to them from the nations that they overcame. Some of those peoples were still living in the land. They had all these little false gods. And it's not just little gods that we call a god with a statue. The gods are anything that we put before God. Money, pleasure, work, any aspect of life. And so Joshua was telling them, this is the day, this is the time, and this is who you must serve. There's no middle ground, is what he was saying. Don't be mixing the one true God with all these other gods, these phony gods. Jesus said in Matthew 12:3, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. We are all, every single person, faced with the same choice, every one of us, to give our whole heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, to follow after God, to seek His kingdom, or we make a choice to choose to go our own way. For those who reject God and go their own way, the consequences will be disastrous. Usually here on this earth, we'll see plenty of problems, plenty of trouble. Every time we choose to do the thing that is not right, we pay for it. We suffer the consequences. But even worse is the certainty of eternity. And we don't want anyone to have to be standing there when God's saying, I never knew you. Depart from me, for I never knew you. But for those who do make the right choice and choose to follow after God, there's some good stuff that's going to be happening. There's a place that is set aside for you in heaven. It's spoken of in many different ways. In my Father's house are many rooms or many mansions. You know, I mean, we can look at it from a bunch of different angles, but what we do know is that it says that there is an inheritance stored up for us in heaven. There is a place that God has set aside for you if you make the right choice. It tells us that there'll be no more pain or sorrow of any kind, that we'll have a new imperishable body, that we'll have joy beyond belief, beyond what we could even comprehend today, that there'll be pleasure at His right hand forevermore, and that we'll get more than we could ever ask or imagine. Now, to me, that sounds like a pretty good deal. I want all that stuff. Don't you? You want that? Or would you rather suffer the terrible consequences? So we have a choice. It gets very simple. We can choose to go this way, which leads to doom and gloom, death, or we choose this way, and we get all these wonderful things that God has in store for us. that God has promised us in His Word. And in addition, He said, there's even more that you can't even ask for or imagine that's in store for us. 2 weeks ago, I talked about the eyes of our heart being open to all that God has for us. And one of the scriptures I used was Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. And it says this, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at the right hand of His heavenly realms. Now, I read that scripture today, right now, so that you would remember and be aware of one particular part in there. Because we have this thing where we, a lot of times, we think, I can't do it. And we need to remember that it says we have this incomparably great power. It's there for believers, for those who believe in Christ. We have the power and the ability through Christ and the Holy Spirit to make right choices and to follow through on them. We have that ability. We have that power in us. It's God in us. Even when you are tempted to give up, and every one of us will be tempted. Temptation is not a sin. Temptation just happens. Jesus was tempted in the desert. Remember, we're all tempted. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. In other words, don't think you got some special temptation that Satan saved just for you. For thousands of years, he's been saving up this one temptation just for you. And no, nobody else has ever had to deal with this. Nobody else knows what I'm going through. Nobody else has ever seen the likes of this temptation. No, they're all common. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. So that you can be successful. When God is telling us there is always a way, we have to believe there is a way. And that's what He's doing. He's saying, don't give in to temptation. Don't say, I can't. When God's Word says, I can. We may have made a choice in the past, and many of us, I'm sure, have. In certain areas of our life, we've struggled, we've had problems, and we just quit. We quit trying. We gave up. We thought, you know what, I'm just not making it. I'm not successful here. I can't do this anymore. I can't handle this anymore. God's telling you today, you can. You can. Philippians 4:13. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. I can do all things. Oh, but I'm so weak. I'm so weak. I feel like I can't do it. 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you. For my power, the power of God, is made perfect in weakness. When we recognize our weakness, when we see it, that's when God says, okay, good, I'm glad you see your weakness. I expect you, I hope that you will see your weakness. Now you can turn to me and I can strengthen you. I can give you the strength. I can show you the way out of this mess. I can show you what you can do to fix it, to make it work, to make your life work, to make that relationship work, to make that job work, to make that thing work that you thought was impossible. God will give us all we need to make the right choices and to follow through on those choices and be successful. His word says we can do it. So we have to get it into our heart. We have to get it inside of us and say, I can walk in His wisdom. Can you do that? Can you walk in His wisdom? I can be led by His Spirit. Does that sound real hard? I can be led by His Spirit. I can seek first His kingdom. Have you done that? I can do that. We can all do that, right? I can seek first His kingdom. I can draw near to God and resist the devil. I can do that. I can do that. I can overcome evil with good. I can be that light that shines in the darkness and overcome that evil with good. I can pray. I can. I can pray. I can study God's word. I can become more like Christ. I can receive God's love. That's a hard one. That's one of the hardest ones. To really know that God loves you. We have to know it inside. I can be loved by God. I can receive God's love. I can receive God's forgiveness. Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins, and it says that He did it once and for all. So it's a done deal. So that means if we go to Him, it says He is faithful to forgive us our sins. So it's just up to us to repent, go to Him, and receive that forgiveness. I can be forgiven. I can know that I am forgiven. I can know that I can be, you know, right in Christ. That I can be holy in Christ. That I can be righteous in Christ. Because God's Word says that I am. I can love the Lord with my whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. I can give it all to Him. I can do this. I can love my brothers and sisters in Christ. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. See, those are decisions. Every one of those things I just said will come to us over and over and over. Now, I know that in every one of these, we've probably all failed. But I also know that in all these, hopefully, you've also succeeded. At least sometimes, right? And so, you know that if you can do it sometimes, you could actually do it all the time. Because the power of God is in us. Not because of what we are, not because of our strength or our ability, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the power of God within us will give us the strength. It's not our power. It's not our might. It's not our wonderfulness of who we are. We cannot do these things on our own. The reason we fail is because we do try to do them on our own. That's why we keep blowing it. We think, okay, God, I got it. I'll handle it from here. And every time we do that, we might last for a little while, but then we fail. God will always bring us back to the point where we have to trust in Him. Every time we try to take it on our own, we lose it. So in other words, we have to humble ourselves constantly. Constantly. Humility and repentance. We humble ourselves, and when we blow it, we have to repent. And I've said this before, that humility and repentance should be the best friends of every Christian. And if we do that, we can always get back to the I can do these things. I can make right choices. And every single day we'll face hundreds of choices, maybe even thousands. It's our choice. We have free will, something God gave to us, free will. Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. What was Joshua's answer? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I see that on lots of people's homes. You know, they have the little plaques. They have it on their front door. They have it on their walls. They have it on cards. They put it everywhere. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But do we ever really think about what that means? not just to call ourselves Christians, but to make those hundreds of choices that we make, those thousands of choices that we make, and make them in light of God's Word, following biblical principles, following the leading of the Holy Spirit, following what God has told us, what His Word has told us, what we've heard, what we've known, and to begin to direct our life on that path more and more and more. And then we find that we are growing then into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what the Word of God tells us to do, to be changed from glory to glory into His image. If I could have the prayer team come forward. You know, we've been talking about answering God's call. And this is part of that. Answering His call. His call is to walk in a certain path. We all have a calling. Every one of you has a call on your life. Every single one of us does. None of us were an accident. You weren't God's second best choice. You weren't a mistake. You were God's choice. God chose you. I chose you. You didn't choose me. Those are God's words. He chose you. He created you as you are. He put things into you. Special, specific, unique things into you that make you who you are, that have formed and developed you. Sure, we've blown it along the way. Sometimes we've sort of lost those things. Sometimes we find them, we bring them back. And God is saying, I want to begin to draw that out of you that I created you to be. I want you to begin to function and to live and walk in the fullness of my plan for your life. And to do that, you need to start making right choices. Day after day, day after day. When we get to that point where, you know, well, I wonder if I should do that. Wait a minute now. Okay, what would God want me to do? Or how would that line up with God's Word? We have to start taking it back to God and not just choosing ourselves all the time. What would be the best for God's kingdom? What would be the most loving response? Not what my right is. Because we can all say, what's my right? You know, I got a right to do that. No, we don't have those kind of rights. Not in the kingdom, not that kind of right, to serve our flesh and to justify our actions in our flesh. The right we have is to be a child of God and to love and to serve and honor Him with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then to make those decisions that will bring honor to Him, bring glory to Him, will change us, will build His kingdom, will bring unity into the body of Christ, will build bridges of love. Those are the kind of decisions that God wants us to make, day after day after day. And as we begin to do that, always giving. I heard something at a speech that was given about 2 weeks ago. I went to the Citizens for Traditional Values Student Statesmanship Institute banquet, and there was a man there by the name of Clark Durant. He founded Cornerstone Christian Schools, and he told a little story about how he was trying to figure out how could he make the school that he really knows that God told him to start and to build together. He wanted to know, how can I fund this? How can I bring it and make it so that it lasts beyond me? He said, I'm old, Lord. I'm not going to be here, but I believe you want things like this to continue on. And he was talking with a guy, and the guy said, well, let me ask you a question. What does every single person, what common thing is between Jesus and every person on earth? He didn't quite know the answer, but then the guy told him, and he said that Jesus gave Himself so that each person could have a more abundant life. And see, when we give ourselves so that all those around us can have an abundant life. In other words, we become a servant like Jesus, who humbled Himself and became a servant, even unto death. And we're told to be like Him. to become that servant. And when we really get that inside of us and we choose to serve, and so we give our love, we give our time, we give our energy, we give what we have, and then we give, and as we give, God gives back in a greater way, such a greater way. And those are the kind of choices that we need to make all the time. Not always looking out for number one, us first. Looking out for number one, God first. Seek first the kingdom of God. It never says in the Bible, seek first your own pride. Seek first your own rights. Seek first your own pleasure. Seek first your bank account. Seek first. It doesn't say any of that. It says seek first God. So our decisions have to go that way. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you so much that you've given us the wisdom in your book, the Bible. Lord, we know that your word is an instruction book that follows you. It's your character. It's your love. It's who you are. And Lord, I pray that we would learn your word and we would learn your principles, the principles of life that you've given us in your word, so that we would make good, godly, wise decisions every day of our life. Lord, that we would be a blessing to all those around us, that the works that we do, the things that we do, would cause others to give praise and honor to your name. Lord, we thank you. We thank you so much for every single thing you've done in our life. We thank you for the choice you made when you chose to send your Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to die for us. Thank you for the choice you made to rescue us, to save us from hell, and to bring us back into your good graces so that we might spend eternity with you. Thank you, God. And Lord, I pray we would now make good, wise choices. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father.